we decided to meet.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, the only reason I would wear this is so that the thing picks me up. I guess I'll wear it. Okay, let's dig in. Took us 3 weeks to get through session one. So we're going to try to streamline it a little bit and take 2 weeks to get through session two. Before we begin, I'm going to put the review of session one on you. And you can look back in your workbooks if you need to. But try to come up with what was the point of session one. What are we trying to take away before we move into lesson two? Talk about it at your tables for a couple minutes. A couple seconds.
It also focuses our priorities.
Absolutely. Well said. And then they gave us that little diagram of the heart with the arrow pointing to the left, our sinful nature and its sinful desires focusing inward, and then that arrow turning around and our new self motivated by Jesus' love to be using our treasures for His work and His kingdom. Okay, let's dig in here. Today we're going to focus on overcoming worry in this next session. Kind of like I said the first week, at the very least, and yet that's not a good way of saying it because it's really the most, but at the very least, we're going to be in God's Word and be hearing what He has to say about financial stewardship and so forth and putting our trust in Him. At the most, if you really dig into the practical side of this, again, we're going to be referencing those tools in the workbook that you can use if you want to use this class as a way to get your financial situation at home in good order as well. So one way of looking at the last session, very much like Ellie said, fix your eyes on lasting treasure. That's the F in focus. As we go along, we'll develop letters for the rest of the word focus. Today, or the rest of this session, whether it's today and maybe next week as well, we're going to try to do away with worry, depending on God our Father, and follow some basic priorities that put our finances in order. So less focusing on ourselves and the worry that ensues, more focusing on God and what He does for us. And then if we want to get practical, filling in the spending plan with things like income, taxes, how much we're giving, and the three categories of savings. And those things will be developed along the way. First, let's get into the Word. Let's read this one together. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the Word. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. Can you tell which parable that Jesus told that comes from? From the book of Matthew? It's actually Matthew 13, verse 22.
The sower.
Parable of the sower. Can you give us a quick recap?
The farmer throws it in, you know, on the path, the hard ground, into the thorns, and into the good field. Some of it grows and it dies, but the good field grows and is more than plentiful.
So the different types of soil and the different results. Very interesting, and we were talking about the weeds, the thorns that seed fell among. Very specifically, Jesus said, the weeds are the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth. So this Bible study ties in really well with the parable of the sower. Worries and deceitfulness of wealth can choke faith, can stifle faith. So let's go a little bit deeper into that. Your workbook has an activity. You can talk this over at your table. Share some of the worries of this life associated with money that choke life. Go. Flesh it out a little bit.
Thank you.
hear from you. We're going to go back and forth table, and then we need a spokesperson just throw them out there. A worry of this life that chokes us.
Hey, we need bills.
Bills. Absolutely. Household maintenance, back to you. There's some statistic out there that says this is how much it costs to raise a child, and if you actually thought about that number compared to how much you bring in, it's impossible. But somehow it works out, right? Because maybe somebody's helping us with that. Back to you. Okay, let's go back and forth one more time.
Home repairs.
You are listening to that group. Absolutely, right? We're seeing home expenses. Last one over there. Okay, thinking about whether we're going to have enough to finish the race. Good. All good examples. Next one. The deceitfulness of wealth causes an illusion. List some if-onlys that people think would change things. So looking back on however much of life we've lived to this point, can you identify some if-onlys? And then things might be better. Go ahead.
I think the biggest one is that we said, if only I had more money, or, but the more you have, the more you spend, for the most part.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that too. When talking about income and then maybe a bonus or a raise, and unless you have a plan for that bonus or that raise, it's spent before you even know what happened to it. Absolutely.
How many people are chasing lottery balls? I don't need a big one. I just need a little bit.
Sure. And how much gets spent on that if only that never happens?
On that, yeah.
The editor of the book gave us some if onlys. If only I bought the right stock back in whenever. If only I had a little bit more money. If only I had done this 5 years ago. If only I had started saving for retirement when I was younger. If only God had given me a different situation. If only I hadn't made a stupid decision. And then they had what you said. If only I could win the lottery. All right.
I didn't like an aerosifical.
Yes.
Or if only I could be a professional basketball player and make, is it $2.1 million? I just heard that.
Hey, but this is really cool.
I haven't gone broke.
Yeah. That's starting salary.
Why am I going to draw a blank? Who's the Oakland A's quarterback?
Carr.
David Carr. No, it's not David.
Derek
Carr. David was his older brother. Anyway, he just cashed in, 5-year contract, $125 million, highest paid football player ever. And the first thing he says is, I'm going to give my tithe to the Lord. And then he said, a lot of people in this country and a lot of people around the world are going to benefit from this. So that was pretty neat to hear that Christian perspective on what he was going to do with that wealth. So the worries and the if-onlys, go ahead.
The if-onlys I didn't like, and there was, if only God gave me a better situation. Hey, he gave you what he gave you. It could have been worse. Let's put it that way. You might have been better. He gave you what you could handle. And so that bothered me. You know, the bills, just the things of the world. But don't blame God for your situation.
Sure.
You can grow up in the inner city, and still get out of there if you willingly will work at it.
If you're faithful with the lot God has given you, things should work out. Good. All those if-onlys, all those worries, kind of like that first heart, they're all sinful self, focused inward, and we need to get that arrow pointing the other direction, trusting that God is going to take care of us. Okay, we've got a video right off the bat today, and the video is called Baggage. Hopefully everything plays the way it's supposed to. What's that?
I know, how much do we charge as a fee for baggage in this church? I know what they charge in the airlines.
Should be right here. Here comes the video Baggage.
Last session we talked about what's really important and valuable in life. It's tied to Jesus, whose story and teachings can be discovered in the Bible.
It sounds so exciting, but then life hits. You ever have one of those days where the bottom just falls out and before you know it, it's over and you look back, oh, what happened?
I think we all have
playing off a disc. That's not going to happen.
Let's watch Tom as he starts his day. Money matters take an emotional toll on our lives and relationships. You just got done sharing some examples of how life can be choked out on this very issue. When things pile up or seem to collapse, it may feel like God has abandoned us. Financial challenges can get us down or overwhelm us, and we feel like Tom. There are some things it seems you can control in your life. But thankfully, you have no control over God's love for you. It's greater than the pure, undying love of a faithful father to his child. There is nothing you can do to change God's love toward you, no matter how badly you mess up. He proved that by sacrificing his son, Jesus, for us. Yes, we have a loving and caring Father in heaven who knows the details of our lives, even knows how many hairs we have on our head. Jesus said that if God even cares for the sparrows of the air and feeds them, how much more we should have faith that he would care for us. You're right, Jeff. Too often, I think we look at financial matters from a worldly viewpoint, and when we do that, worry and anxiety just kind of build up like the boxes in life. Real life is about perspective. It's not about the abundance of things or the absence of it. Pete had a different attitude as he went about life that made him happy and content so he could enjoy the things of life. That's something we desire for you as well. To experience true unburdened freedom, it's important that we not only understand that God supplies us with everything that we need in life, but that he also, as a father, helps us with the steps we need to take. Those steps may seem hard, and progress may seem slow at first, but we're confident that he will bless them. And when you're stressed out about them, he says, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast your anxiety on him, because he takes care of you.
All right, they actually already referenced some of the Bible verses that we'll be taking a look at.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, a little bit of discussion about the video segment we just watched. Back to the workbook, toward the bottom of page 35. The video uses the boxes as a metaphor for the emotional baggage in our lives. Discuss the baggage that you see people carry on a daily basis. Probably don't need to discuss it, right? We saw a lot of it in the video. And if it wasn't his baggage, we saw other people carrying baggage. They pretty much covered all the bases there. Pete, the whistling guy, had a handcart to make it easy for him to carry his boxes. What might that cart represent? Why don't you talk about that one at your tables? What might that cart represent?
The safe answer.
Okay, so that's the easy answer.
Yes, yeah, Jesus.
Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Things like cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you.
Yeah.
Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Absolutely. The editor here suggests one more thing, maybe taking it a step farther, and it's really not going beyond Jesus. It's because of Jesus, an attitude of contentment. So he had baggage, he had Jesus helping him carry the baggage, and as a result, he was whistling a happy tune because he was content and he trusted that Jesus had all things in control. Let's read the Bible verse at the bottom of page 35 in our workbooks, Philippians chapter 4, together. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. So if you think of anybody who's ever walked on this earth that knew what hardship was, what knew what difficulty in life was, being persecuted, being arrested, being flogged for his faith, and all the things that the Apostle Paul endured, and yet through all of that, he's saying, but I know what it means to be content in my Savior Jesus. A lot of times Philippians 4:13 is, you know, even Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors puts it on his shoes. At our soiree, the third and fourth graders put together this nice canvas, and then they all made little crosses, and they put together this collection of crosses, and we won it at the soiree, and it's hanging up in our house, and it says all things on it. And sometimes we take that a little bit beyond what the meaning of that passage was when Paul spoke it. Here he is talking about being content through any and all circumstances. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. We're talking about contentment. Jesus can help us be content no matter what the circumstances. He isn't saying here that I can become an NBA basketball player because Jesus is going to let me do that, or I can do, you know. We like to use that passage that way. But what we're talking about is I can be content through Jesus who gives me strength. All right, let's turn the page. And read together at the top of page 36 from Psalm 145. The eyes of all look to you, O Lord, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. And let's read the next one from Matthew chapter 10, spoken by Jesus. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more worth more than many sparrows. So really quickly, anybody, what do you take from those verses of the Bible? King David's words and Jesus' words. What does that mean to you? Carolyn. For you, way more so than a meaningless bird, right? Does anything else really connect with you from these verses? Okay, so an example of the Bible reinforcing itself from the Old Testament and the New Testament. Kind of like there's no new, you know, sin under heaven, but there's no new problem under heaven either. Absolutely. Maybe the personal nature of it, especially the second verse. Again, you know, you've been hearing this for a lot of years of your life, no doubt, and it's easy to take these words for granted, but hairs on each of our heads are numbered. You know, we're not just one of 7 billion people that God has a hard time paying attention to. He's paying attention to each of us individually. And we're going to see as we go forward as his children because he is our heavenly Father. All right, back to the workbooks where it says small group discussion, God's care. You can brainstorm these at your tables. Recall stories in the Bible that give proof of our heavenly Father's ability to take care of us. See if you can't come up with 5 in a relatively short amount of time. Examples. The next question is, share how you have seen God's providing care as a theme in your life. We did a great job listing examples from the Bible. Now I realize this might be a little bit more personal. So I'll start with at your table, if anybody wants to share an example at your table. And then if beyond that, if anyone wants to share with the group. But if given that it's a little bit more personal in nature, we may or may not be willing to share something. So I'll let you guys think about it. Think about that at your tables first. God's providing care in your life. Share with the group. Tim's going to share with the group an example of God's love and care in his life.
Quite literally, I think you've all kind of witnessed this, but God, when I was at rock bottom, pulled me out of the fire and saved me and led me here. Now I have a full-time job, almost completed. I have 48 units in community college. I need 60 to have my degree. I've been sober for quite some time now, to the point where I don't even do the wine at Holy Communion. Pastor Schmidt would know that because one time there was wine in the grape juice, and so every time I'd go up there, he'd kind of give me that extra, is it grape juice thing? And so, I'm very thankful to thank you all.
And it quite literally started with a meal, right?
It did. Yes.
Right in here? It was a Lent dinner or an Advent dinner?
Yeah, Dan was at the door and said, come on in, open arms. And, I was quite intimidated, but I kept coming back. So.
Awesome. So those were God's open arms. Kind of like the way the sermon ended today. We pray that workers would go out into the harvest field, and quite pretty strong chance that you're going to be the answer to that prayer, or any of us is going to be the answer to that prayer. Go ahead, Jenny. And sometimes starting with concern for people's physical needs creates the opportunity to also care for their spiritual needs as well. Good, good. Let's keep going. We've got a Bible verse to read together, Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, toward the bottom of page 36. Here we go. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So when we're speaking about earthly fathers who are sinful, or earthly parents for that matter, they care for their children, and they do it in an imperfect way, but at the end of the day, they're very generous and kind and loving to their own children. How much more will a perfect heavenly father know how to take care of us much better than any earthly parent could do? Do you have something, Stacy?
Oh, it's sad to say there are some parents.
Well, anyway, you want to compare God to an earthly parent.
Oh, God would always be kinder than anything we've
ever. Absolutely. Good. So the reference in that passage talked about the Heavenly Father giving good gifts to those who ask him. Our next question is to identify the good gifts your Heavenly Father has given you in your life. Since that's kind of a personal question, not that we can't share, but why don't you attack that just you to start with? Try to flesh out a list of good gifts the Heavenly Father has given you in your life. of become, you know, like if you're on Facebook, you'll see this relatively frequently, where people will take these like thankful challenges where once a day for a month or once a day, you know, from Thanksgiving to Christmas or whatever, identifying something for which you're thankful. And obviously, if you wanted to make a list of things, good gifts from God, you know, the list would be endless and we could spend hours on it. But one of those kind of themes regarding thankfulness is one of the ways that we can focus on being content is to focus on all the many things that God has given us. Top of the list, Savior from sin, Jesus Christ, and then go down from there. But the editor of the Bible study, and this is kind of one of those thankful themes, is keep going back to this list. So it might be something you literally go home and do, writing a list, and then regularly try to develop a routine of referencing that list, because in the moments of discontent or worry or frustration, we go back to that list and hopefully it helps us remember, first and foremost, we're saved by Jesus, but then all the many ways that God provides for us beyond that. Bottom of page 36, it's easy to underestimate the good surprises God brings into your life. Okay, now we're going to start to get a little bit more specific and practical as we move into page 37 in our workbook. Just take a quick look at the slide. Kind of everything we've done today so far is around the theme of overcoming worry with the Father's care. So think about your relationship with God. He's your Father. Your identity, you are His child. You are His redeemed, forgiven child. Your heart, because you are His child and He is your Father, can be filled with trust and contentment. And your focus, it does not rest on my abilities alone, because my Heavenly Father is taking care of me. So now we're going to talk, practically speaking, about some of these things. On the top of page 37, we've got a couple paragraphs. I'll just read them out of the workbook. You can follow along with me. Often God takes care of individuals through the people He places in their lives. Martin Luther called this concept the masks God wears. When it comes to financial planning, each household situation is unique, and no plan uniformly fits everyone. One thing ought to be common to all: the important priority of supplying the basic needs of those depending on us. We often identify these basics as food, clothing, and shelter, but it goes beyond physical things. It's about creating an environment that nurtures our loved ones in living confident and contented lives. The more you understand the Heavenly Father, who cares for us, the more you will understand how to carry out this calling for your life. Some may not have great financial means to work with, but have been outstanding in paying proper attention to this basic element of loving care for the people in their lives. The proportionate amount of basic needs may change as you enter different seasons of life. Describe your current season of life. How does that affect the area of basic needs? So maybe at our tables, people who are willing and brave to talk about their current season of life and what that means for their basic needs at that current season of life. Go ahead and talk about that.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to trust that you had some good discussions and shared some good things. Kind of one of the thoughts that the author of the Bible study had was, as you think about your progression through the seasons of life, one thing that you might realize about your life is seasons when you relied on others to provide for you, maybe you then became in a situation where you were then providing for others. So God using you in different ways. Let's take a look at the bottom of 37 in our workbooks. Psalm 37, verse 25. Let's read it together. I was young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. All right, let's keep going. Okay, so caring for your own, meeting basic needs of others. Now we're going to talk about the blessing of earning diligently. Again, let's go to the Word. Moses speaking in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's read it together. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. I underline the words, gives you the ability. So the moment at which we think that we're pretty special because we're able to work or we have a particular talent that enables us to bring it in, it's even God who gave us the ability to do whatever it is that allows us to earn a living. Let's just talk about this one as a whole group. Explain the connection between God and our income. I kind of did.
Gives you a body that can work is the one who gives you job opportunities. Easy takes us away also, but all of it is.
That's kind of the fundamental point right there. It all comes back to God. It's kind of like all energy, all life on earth ultimately gets its energy from the sun. However you want to look at the food chain, it goes back to the sun. Any material blessings that we have, even if God uses us to acquire those for ourselves, they're ultimately coming from Him. Go ahead.
Yeah. Anytime we do a stewardship program, or I have to constantly remind myself that it really belongs to God in the first place. Everything we have belongs to God in the first place, and He just is entrusting it to us. So, just reminding always myself.
Absolutely, and then. Thank you so much. And then maybe what comes into play then is, so we're managing what is already God's, and then how God is looking out for us by giving us what we can handle managing. You go back to the parable of the, I don't know what the parable is called, but it's the one with the talents, right? So He gave different amounts to different, and all that He expected from all of them, regardless of whether it was a ton or a little, was faithful use of the blessings that God has given to us.
My thought was, God provides, what was it? Now I can't, my mind just went blank, but in essence, God demands more of those who can manage more, or provide, takes care of it to take care of His business. So that was the thought. That was my first thought. Maybe it was, and it may not be. It may not fit right here. But when I see the word diligent, that's what I think of. It all belongs to God. We're only managing it for the short time that we're here on this planet. And it's so many times. And right now we're thinking a whole lot about income. But it's not just income. It's our works. And our thoughts and our prayers, even though we may not see the fruits, the fruits are out there. Somebody's watching you, no matter what you're doing. And if you're providing for the Lord's work, He's going to bless that for others that you don't even see.
I really like how you said that. All the blessings He gives us, whether it's financial or whether it's the blessing of time or the blessing of talents, It's all about doing God's business. It all goes back to that. Excellent. Next question. What causes people to become disillusioned with what they get paid? Talk that one over at your tables. What causes people to get disillusioned with what they get paid? So really quickly, you know, things that cause us to get disillusioned with what we get paid. I'm sure you discussed some good examples. Author had some ideas like finding my personal value in the income that I earn. In which case, if the income I earn is not especially high, it might cause me to question my personal value. Another example was keeping up with the Joneses. So someone else is making more, and my inability or ability to acquire as much as they have and try to win the race that way. Author also encourages us to remember this verse from, I don't have a reference. Yes, I do. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. The desire to have more leads to a lack of contentment and lack of appreciation for the real treasures of life. All right, now our study turns kind of practical. So bottom of page 38, if you're trying to get the practical element out of this study, we're going to be referencing the spending plan. So I think in our workbooks, the spending plan can be found up in the front, page 12. And you may have already done some work with that. I believe that same spending plan is toward the back, kind of in the appendix of the book. And I'm not exactly sure what page it's on. Yes, I am. It's on page 129. So it's the exact same page. So income, understand what it is. For the sake of the spending plan, use net take-home pay. So on that spending plan, and I'm just going to quick have it open in front of me so I can be thinking about this while I talk. The first thing on the spending plan is income per month. Income number one, potentially income number two, if there's two income earners in your household. What it is saying is, its suggestion is as long as you make income in a way that taxes are taken out before you see your paycheck, use your net monthly income in this income plan. That might differ from someone who, you know, is self-employed and is therefore going to view taxes as an expense, number three listed there, if you've got to take care of that separately from your paycheck.
We do both.
Right. So you might have both situations in your house. So anyway, that's what it's suggesting that we do, net income, when you fill in figures there. And then it just differentiates between fixed income and variable income. So the slide just shows two pictures there. I'm going to read what the leader's guide says about both. Fixed income represents those who get a fairly steady income each month. This could be the hourly wage earner at the local factory, a salaried manager, or the couple living on Social Security and investments. So it kind of covers people who are still working and people who are retired. Some in this category may have taxes withheld each month, and others may have to include their taxes in their spending plan. Variable income represents those whose income can fluctuate greatly from month to month. This can be anyone from a salesperson whose life depends mainly on commission, or someone who's self-employed of some other nature. Those with variable incomes may want to budget an average income from the months or year before. So maybe taking last year's income and just dividing it by 12 so that you can create more or less a monthly average, even though it might fluctuate greatly from month to month. And then it talks about two income families, and it suggests that a good strategy for these folks receiving two incomes might be to live off one income for regular living expenses. And then it says, ideally, a young couple who's just beginning their marriage should figure how to merge their two previous lifestyles into one so they can begin using only one income for living expenses. With this approach, the second income allows couples to free money for extra savings, giving, major purchases, special trips, or other non-basic expenses. For those who are in need of two incomes for living expenses, a goal may be to begin reducing expenses little by little, weaning themselves off dependency of two salaries. So in some situations that might work, in other situations that might not be reality. I think in the community in which we live, it's if there's two incomes, often they're needed, not so much. We can live off one and have the other on the side. But it might be, it might be. And then it also talks about bonuses and raises. So it says, if you don't have a plan ahead of time for how you might deal with additional money that comes in, bonuses or raises, it will float away without helping you accomplish your goals. Don't let it create a hike in spending levels. Plan right now where that money will go before it disappears with nothing to show for it. I'll just take the hit on this one. So easy to do. Where a raise happens and all of a sudden the expenses go up with it. Instead of, you know, if we were living off of the previous income, we should be able to live off that income and the raise should be able to be saved or something like that. But all of a sudden we find ourselves, you know, increasing expenses and the raise gets absorbed and we're not saving any more than we were before the raise.
Oh, you're human.
Well, and practically speaking though, one thing we can maybe take from this Heart and Focus course is try to handle it better.
Say, after all these years of planning and stuff, I said the average person still spends 10% more than they earn.
Yeah, and then they're going the wrong direction. Okay, so as we're looking bottom of page 38 there, we talked about fixed income, variable income, maybe coming up with a monthly average there, maybe some thinking about families that have two incomes. The little box says your work is not your identity. It's a tool for living and pursuing your God-given calling, which goes back to what Sam said earlier. All of this is about doing God's will, advancing His kingdom. I like how you said it, doing God's business. Practically speaking, you can think to yourself, what will be your plan with raises and bonuses? So if you're filling out that spending plan, that's a little bit of insight as to filling in the income per month category. And that's for you to do on the side. We're not going to take care of that right now. And then there's some reminders that the author gives us. I'm going to share those with you quickly. Usually the problem is not the income amount, but what we've been doing with the money after we get it. And then another point, the Christian work ethic values faithful and hard work. Proverbs chapter 6. Honesty should also be a hallmark of our character. And lastly, some encouragement from Ephesians chapter 6. Work's not merely for income and not for the boss, but we are to work with sincerity of heart as you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for the good he does. And that makes me think of Colossians 3:23. Work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. So the gift of work, view it as a blessing, not as a curse. It's an opportunity for us to serve God. 2 minutes left. I think we can maybe take the next page as well, focusing on paying taxes. This will be pretty quick. Let's read the verse at the top of page 39 together. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. Let's go right down the line and consider these questions. Consider how God cares for us and others through governments. Come up with three really quickly. Shout them out.
Okay, so Social Security, Medicare, Medi-Cal, whatever you want.
So health concerns, retirement income, how else do governments provide for us? Safety. Okay, good. Maximize deduction options and tax credits. So practically speaking, and at the beginning of the class I said I am not a financial advisor. The reference in the book is just to be aware of what these things are and take full advantage of them in a very honest and straightforward way. Personally, I found that keeping up with this type of stuff seems to be difficult enough that I find asking an expert to do it for me probably balances out. You know, I figure if I'm paying someone to do my taxes, he's probably finding money that, you know, I otherwise wouldn't find myself if I tried doing my taxes. And then I get at least the peace of mind knowing that they were done correctly and helps me sleep better at night. But everybody's going to make their own decision on that. There's software out there like TurboTax that is frequently updated and so forth. But to each his own, as far as we do the taxes, just take advantage of what is there for us.
The church is maximizing your deductions. I mean, that's, think of it that way too. The
right.
More you give to your church, the less you can take off.
And sometimes people will get to the end of the calendar year and have some money that they would like to give to Jesus, and the side benefit is it helps their tax situation as well, not vice versa.
Yes, it's you're giving it, you're getting a bonus because it's taken off your taxes. How's that?
Sure, an added bonus to being faithful to the Lord. Avoid having too much withheld. That's some good practical advice. If you're having a lot withheld and then at the end of the year you're getting a huge return, yeah, that return is sometimes a nice boost. You weren't anticipating it. But at the end of the day, it's the government making interest on that money, not you. So your return is just coming back to you. It's not new money. So the best case scenario is you give the government just enough for what it needs and you're keeping as much for yourself as you can and not having it. A huge return. So if you have a huge return, you might want to consider what's being withheld and get that into a better balance. When self-employed, carefully plan ahead for tax deadlines. Those quarterly estimates can be painful if you haven't been saving for them. Practically speaking, one thing we did in our household, Sarah, you know, has her taxes withheld. I'm considered self-employed by the government. And rather than dealing with the quarterly estimates, you can put a fixed amount in the W-2, and therefore it's just getting withheld with her paycheck and we never see it. We don't have to save up for those quarterly estimates and it's out of sight, out of mind. But there too, you got to get the right amount in there so that at the end of the year, everything's pretty well in line with what it needs to be. So that's just a possible route to deal with the self-employment quarterly estimates. Providing faithful and honest reporting. So that's just doing what God wants you to do. Always be truthful, always be honest. The numbers that we're putting into our taxes are the truth. Okay? So again, depending on the degree to which you've been doing the practical aspect of the class, you've got that spending plan, we've talked about income, we've started talking about some of these expenses, and we'll just keep going forward from there. I guess I'll just leave you with the reinforcement of probably the biggest spiritual truth that we take away from today. Overcome worry with the Father's care. Remember that it is ultimately God who's taking care of you. Let's say a quick prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, again, when we think about things that make us content, things for which we're thankful, you making us your children, dying for our sins, and forgiving them on the cross is at the top of our list of things for which we're thankful. Move us with thankful hearts to do your business with the resources that you've given to us. Help us to have confidence and trust in you so that we don't worry, knowing that you're our Heavenly Father and you're going to take care of your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming.